Good morning. I'm Renee Nelson. Thanks for joining us today. And we've been talking for the past, you know, just about a year or so now with the Family Violence Project about once a month, every 6 weeks or so, about subjects that have been going on in regards to domestic violence issues for us here in the Central Maine area. Now, one of the big conversations here and on TV and on sports shows and just about everywhere you turn is domestic violence and the NFL. And I know when I go home, the sports shows are on, and for many weeks, it was a nonstop topic, which it's a wonderful thing that it's being talked about in these places you might not normally think about talking about domestic violence. So that's good. But unfortunately, they've had a lot to talk about. And I've got some ladies here joining me today. And let's just go around the room and everybody introduce themselves.
Good morning, Renee. It's Nan from Family Violence Project. Nice to be here again.
Good morning. This is Danielle. I'm a Survivor to Thriver.
And I'm Karen. I'm also from Survivor to Thriver. Good to be here.
Thank you all for coming in today. Now, I've done a little bit of research. The big conversation all started with Ray Rice in the video that came out about an incident that actually happened in February, but it came out later in the year. There's also been Adrian Peterson from the Vikings, child abuse charges there. Greg Hardy with the Panthers. He was convicted, but apparently in Carolina there is a law that if you were convicted on a bench trial, you can request then a jury trial. So that's all pending, so he's still playing. Ray McDonald of the 49ers, apparently hitting his pregnant fiance. Jonathan Dwyer is suspected in some abuse. Then also, I was just recently looking that the LA Kings, which is a hockey player, he's a defenseman, Slava Voynov. I won't even try to pronounce it, but arrested recently on suspicion of domestic violence. NHL just suspended him indefinitely. Mm. So it's going on. It's in the NFL. It's clearly in other sports, too. But it's opened up a really big conversation in a lot of different areas who wouldn't normally talk about this, about domestic violence. And, Nan, have you been seeing more of that? I mean, October has been Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and you've been out doing a lot of things for October. Is this something that, is it just my imagination, or are a lot of people talking about it now?
A lot, Renee. It's been probably one of the busiest Octobers that I've encountered in my work at Family Violence Project, with people sort of just buzzing about this, and domestic violence seems to be right there. We've collected some information about the NFL and some facts about it, and it's amazing because this has like opened up a can of worms in this all coming to light with all these situations that are available. And one of the facts that we discovered was that out of 32 of the NFL teams, 21 of them have admitted to having at least one player convicted of domestic violence or a domestic assault on their roster. So that's one player on 21 teams. That's at least one player.
And you said convicted, not suspected, not accused. This is convicted, have been through a process and was found guilty.
When they're convicted, they're held legally responsible for their behavior. So yes, this has gone through the court system. So
wow.
Yeah. I mean, so when I said opening up a can of worms, it's like we are discovering now that this is very prevalent in this area. This is a business where domestic violence certainly is recognized and has been going on probably for a while.
And sports is a business of aggression. I mean, especially NFL players, hockey players, you're going out there, you're going to war on that field. This is about tapping into that kind of primitive, I'm going after you, you're not going to get at the better of me type scenario. And then they're at the end of the game, you're supposed to put that all away, go home and be Mr. Fluffy, I guess. I mean, that seems to be a lot to ask of any human being without some help.
And I heard that on one of the sport talk shows was that these players are trained to be violent. They're trained to be aggressive in the work that they're doing out on the field. And you're right. So it's How do you harness that? How do you manage that? Because when we're talking about domestic assault, it's a behavior. It's a choice of, you know, how you treat somebody. So it's one thing to train for that in your work and be able to focus and utilize that skill there. But it's interesting to learn that it does spill over at home. And that's what we talk about. We've talked about that with domestic violence in the workplace, that this is a behavior that doesn't just stay at home, spills over into the workplace. The opposite we've talked about. So here we're looking at just the reverse. These are men who are being expected to be violent in their work, and it's spilling over to their home.
Now, what about the women in these situations? Most of these guys have girlfriends, and most of these guys have wives, and at the very least, they're out there and they're, you know, dating and socializing and hooking up. And I mean, I would think that the women of the NFL would not stand for this, but it seems that that's not quite the case. That this, the, maybe the money in all of this buys a lot of silence.
I think that's what. Something that we're learning in hearing all the talk, the public talk about this or the media talk, and I've heard some comments from other NFL wives, and each one of them seemed to weigh in a little differently, and I think what we see in working in domestic violence is that. This is a population that maybe has means, money, resources. And so I think what I'm learning is that it can stay hidden oftentimes when there are the means or the and there's the money to kind of cover it up.
Because there was a really interesting article that the Washington Post did and talking with a couple of wives from the NFL and how – kind of at the time, there was this atmosphere coming from their husband's or boyfriend's employer that you don't want him to lose his job. You want this to all be okay. So it was, you know, don't go outside of the NFL with this. Don't say anything because there's a big fear of losing a lot of money, whether it's to fines and suspensions or just losing a career altogether.
Well, and think about it practically. I mean, I'm sitting here with Karen and Danielle. I mean, what does it take to sustain a household? And that is part of a relationship. When you're married to someone, it is about money as well. How are you going to do this together? And so it does play into that. I know I experienced that in trying to figure out how am I going to survive if I leave a relationship and take care of myself and my kids on my own when I started it with a husband.
Right. I mean, money's got to play a role in all relationships and whether you decide to stay or go or when you decide to stay or go, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think that, I mean, it's money, it's everything, but the money is a big aspect of it, especially if you have children involved. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to take care of the kids and... You know, you need money to survive. And especially if you've gone into this relationship and maybe you didn't have anything. And now all of a sudden, you know, because of him, you have all, you know, you're surviving. You're living a good life. And now this has all come up and you're like, what do? You know, and people like to judge people because you're staying.
And I was just going to say that, Danielle. Look at all the judgment placed on Janae, because I've heard many people say, "Yeah, that elevator event took place, and then she married him." It's like, why would she marry him? Well, it's not so black and white, and you know, I'm sure they had plans together, and in considering what her dreams or wants or needs were, you think that maybe, you know, she was willing to think about that as, I'm not so ready to leave because I'm leaving a lifestyle. And that's probably something that she was aspiring to as well.
Well, that, and I think, too, she could also be thinking, you know, she's probably, she loves him. She could have fear from him. It's the money. Yeah. It's the, you know, and so it's, it, you're right. It isn't. It's not a black and white. It's a real gray area. I do like what she, what her statement was, though, and she had stated, just know we will continue to grow and show the world what real love is. Love is not abuse ever. So, you know, I think just always talking about it, and the more people come out with it when these kind of things happen, you know, it's just, and again, we talked about the courts before and you know, why she stays, and there's so much to it, really. You know, and I have a huge thing about the courts. I mean, nothing's perfect, you know. I think a lot of our systems are broken, and I think it's just going to take a lot to get people's eyes to open. And, you know, I only talk about personal experiences that, you know, I didn't have monies to fight. And so, you know, my son's father did. And so he hired, you know, an attorney at GAL and magically got everything he wanted, even though there had been, you know, 3 years back, domestic violence proven in a court of law. And I got sole custody, and now we have shared custody. And it's because I didn't have money to fight it. And so I just kind of had to surrender. And so, you know, but, and that's been really tough on our child, you know, going back and forth. And so it's just in constant care in trying to rear him to be in both families. So many different things, you know, he gets to do what dad said he doesn't get to do at my house. And because of, you know, and so it's hard. It's really hard.
And so that money, you feel, played a big part what was able to be done within the court system, right or wrong. It was done because somebody had a level of influence that you couldn't afford.
I totally 100% believe that if I had an attorney
that was
fighting to get what I was looking for, that we wouldn't have, you know, with this, it just would have been different.
And here's the situation with these NFL players, sports players in general. I mean, even a low-paid sports player is making pretty decent money compared to most of us. Yeah. So they are, and who is able to get that defense, whether it's through their own means or through the club?
Yeah, exactly. And I know we see the huge need for legal representation for women, and there is none out there. They're representing themselves, so there's a deficit to begin with. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking the NFL probably paid for his legal representation or was a part of it in his defense.
Well, in the Ray Rice case, and this is the one we were speaking about in regards to Janae. That one really baffles me because that whole thing, when I first heard about it over the summer, I thought it was something that had just happened. And everybody was reacting to something that had just happened. And it made complete sense to me. When I found out a few days later that we were talking about something that happened in February, that it had gone through its systems, that it had, he was on the verge of returning after a 2-game suspension, and, you know, all the stuff that was supposed to have happened, and it was supposed to be now coming to a conclusion before the video came out. That's what I found more terrifying than anything else, that this whole thing wasn't important until we saw the video, or wasn't as a big deal until we saw the video. And the video is pretty powerful, especially with her, the one dragging her out of the elevator. Mm-hmm. That it was just didn't seem as important until we could see it. Like, somehow if you don't see the abuse, it's not really there. And maybe that's a human nature thing, that we don't want to believe that sort of stuff. But the fact that for months and months and months it was okay, and then all of a sudden it wasn't, that's, I found that rather disturbing.
Well, and I think you're right, Renee. I mean, it's like, okay, we know that there are women living with this every day, day in, day out, working at the Family Violence Project. You see it and hear about it. So it's like, what is it that people don't understand? But I think that's what happens, is it becomes so overt. And somebody who leaked that probably was outraged at the fact that he only got basically a slap on the hand. And actually, if somebody had said to me, I wasn't really following it, to be honest with you, I knew very little about it until one of my friends said to me, geez, did you hear about that Ray Rice thing? That's really interesting. He got, did you see the video? And I said, no. And they said, well, you know, he got convicted of domestic assault and he got suspended for 2 games. How is it that somebody who, an NFL player or a sports player misuses drugs or takes steroids and they're suspended for the whole season? Isn't this just a slap on the hand? And he literally punched his wife out and knocked her out. And he gets a slap on the hand.
And what do you think might have been behind some of that? Attorneys?
Well,
you know, the NFL themselves? I mean, so you look at the power that was behind him. I mean, now if you take that whole scenario without an attorney and without all the back, it would be a totally different circumstance, I'm sure.
You're right.
You know?
You're right, Karen. It would be completely
different. So it's,
again,
about power and money. And, you know, it's about, it is, when you think about it.
The money hides, it allows for that silence behind
Absolutely.
It. And we don't see it. So going back to you, Renee, you know, seeing that video was really outraged somebody. And a lot of people. And people said, no, this is not okay. And unfortunately, we have to be reminded of it periodically. I hate to say this, but it's the truth. Domestic homicides here in the state of Maine, every time they happen, people of late are outraged by this. How could this have happened? Why did this happen again? And I think it sort of propels our reactions, our responses forward in saying we will not tolerate this. We have to do something about this and get this to stop. Yeah. And I think, unfortunately, these tragedies and these incidences are what it makes us wake up and say, no, this isn't okay.
Well, and our children,
we need to address
it. Our children are seeing these, you know, and so what's the message that they're going to carry through as they grow up and go older? Yeah. You know, when you know, and so if it's not talked about and it's not dealt with, then what are we teaching our kids?
That's right.
Yeah, they look up to these football players. My son, he's 7, loves his football.
Yeah.
Loves his football. He's looking up to these football players that are getting slapped on the wrist for beating their woman publicly.
Yeah, and I know,
and okay.
You know, and probably there's a lot of them with this attitude, well, I'm not here to be a role model. Well, sorry,
you are,
whether you like it or not. If you're in the public eye and you have fans, mm-hmm. you are a role model, mm-hmm. and I don't care on what level you do that, and it is a responsibility that I think a lot of people don't get, not at all. Now, the NFL made some changes. They have set up a whole bunch of stuff in response to this. You know, they brought in a group of women as a response team to these allegations and when these sorts of things happen. Just kind of a gut reaction. Think it's going to make any difference?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think that they should have something in place where these football players are having some type of, I wouldn't say counseling, but sessions on how to control their aggressions and stuff. You know, maybe help them work through that. Like you said, they're on the football field. They're trained to be aggressive. They need to go home and be fluffy. It's in a normal world, that doesn't happen. You know, they lose a game, they're going to be angry. They're going to go home and take that anger out at home. You know, maybe if there's something they could do or even teach them about domestic violence. I don't think a group of women is going to help the men. I think it will help the wives.
But I also think the more that women speak up, the more women you're going to have speak up. And then it just becomes, maybe we can overpower that.
Yeah.
You know, that can become overpowering to what's
going on. I think it is good to generate conversation between women and women speaking mm-hmm. out and advocating for women mm-hmm. that they don't deserve to be treated that way. This isn't okay to have this going on. I think it's interesting that they hired women to come in and deliver this message. I'm hoping that the NFL men who don't agree with this their voice and speak up. I know we have men in our community that have taken active roles in stepping forward to say this isn't okay. We don't treat people, women, you don't teach children that this is okay, that this kind of behavior is disrespectful. And you don't treat anybody in that manner. But what's interesting to note, too, is a majority of men in our culture aren't abusive. So that's where my hope lies, is that this will open the door to them being able to take a stand and saying, no, this isn't acceptable from any from men. And you don't treat women this way. In regards, I'm for equal treatment of men and women. Mm-hmm. Women don't use violence either. Violence isn't an answer to relationship problems. It's about learning to respect yourself and figure out how you respect others based on your behavior.
And going back to that article from the Washington Post that was speaking with the NFL wives, a couple of NFL wives, it said, do these women think that the NFL's newfound tough stance on domestic violence. What did they think of it? They don't think it will work. Fear of losing money to fines and suspension was part of what pressured them to stay quiet, and they put putting tougher penalties on will only make that fear worse. The women said that the focus should be less on punishment and more on rehabilitation.
Yes.
And, you know, rehabilitation, and also right from day one, I would imagine that support to to compartmentalize this aggression on the field stays in the clubhouse, stays on the field. It doesn't go any further. And I think, you know, you're very wise in saying that the other men involved with the teams and other teammates who don't have this behavior, don't have this problem, be very vocal about it, that it's not cool, you know, and not stand for it. Call them out on it.
And it's not right. It should not be part of our culture. And it is. And that's where we have to start to talk about it and have a dialogue to change that cultural belief that it's okay to do this. It isn't. It's not okay. And money and power and control misused is harmful to anybody. Mm-hmm. And so especially for women, where I think we've received cultural messages, and some of these beliefs are deep-seated in men in our culture, that it is okay to treat a woman that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, it's a learned behavior.
You know,
if they witnessed it as a child, it tends to roll over, unfortunately.
Exactly.
And no matter what you can, you know, I instill in my children's brain every day, hands are not for hitting, you know, words are not for hurting. We love each other, you know, we're going to use our hands and hug, and you know, still there's always that thing in the back of my mind that wonders, okay, is he going to grow up to be the same way as his father? And that scares the life out of me. Thank God I have an 18-year-old stepson with my abuser. He's not mine, but I raised him. And he's amazing. And I don't think he would ever lay a hand on a woman, thank goodness. But he was also there. He was my rock through everything.
Oh.
He was there to support me. So it's a learned behavior. So even though there's not many, the ones that we do have, they learn it from childhood, and they take it with adulthood.
And now with this power and this money and this history, it creates a really dangerous situation or just a tinderbox.
I once heard this woman, Barry Levy, who'd done a lot of research on abuse in relationships, and found similarly that the majority of victims are women. And she made an informational educational video on it, and she ended it, and it rings in my head all the time. She says, real men don't hit. And I think about that over and over again. And if that's a message that we could teach our sons and men in our society, that there are other ways, there are options and alternatives to handling your emotions and your frustrations. But violence isn't the answer.
Right.
And so I think it's important for men to understand that about how they treat other men as well in the NFL, in playing a very violent sport.
Mm-hmm.
They're hurting each other. They've done all this research now on brain injury and concussions. And it's sad to say that that football players their life expectancy is cut short if they decide to take up football as a career. And that's because of the violence that they're playing with. So I think all of this kind of funnels into, you know, an important message that we need to think about this and how we treat one another.
Well, because I think one thing's for sure, the NFL is not going away. It is here to stay. It is an American institution, and I really hope that they get things together and can start addressing this and making it so these guys can be the heroes to kids. I mean, that's what they should be.
I think that everybody, you know, whatever community you're in, it takes a community to make change. And I think if you're in your community and you want to make changes, just start talking about it, because that's how change is going to happen.
Well, I think that pretty much says it all. Well, thank you all again very much for coming in, talking about domestic violence, and especially how it's relating to sports and in this subject, which even though I wish we didn't have to see these things in the news, it has done an amazing job of getting people to talk about it, people who probably don't think about it very often. I mean, how often? I've never seen sports shows just sitting around talking about domestic violence for long stretches at a time. So you know, kudos to everybody for at least talking, keeping the conversation going for a while.
Sure. Yeah, and we recently had an article about staying outraged. Maureen Mulliken in the KJ wrote an article about, let's keep talking about this. Let's be outraged, and maybe we can work together to make a change.
Sure.
Yeah, and sadly, it seems that sports keeps bringing us people to be outraged about. So, and they're high profile, so they will keep popping up in the news, and it's a great time every time it happens to have that conversation once again. Ladies, thank you very much for joining us today, talking about domestic violence.
Thank you, Renee.